Breakfast with Pat and Heels for Imar Insurance. Get an online quote and instant cover anywhere, anytime. Visit imar.com.au.
How we have waited collectively for this series to begin. It echoes around the Gabba as the all clear is given and a nation turns its eyes to Mitch Stark. The Ashes summer of 21-22 gets underway as Stark roars in and bowls to Burns. He bowled in first ball! Mitch Stark serves notice! And Ashes can be defined by the first delivery. And Stark has bowled Burns on the leg stump around his pads.
That's the anti-Steve Harmison ball. That's the complete opposite. Yes, it was on leg stump, but it was always going to swing. And Burns, I reckon that's the last possible ball he pictured he would receive. First ball, day one of the Ashes at the Gabba. And I reckon great initiative. They're just checking the new ball. No, that's fine. Good initiative from Pat Cummins to actually give Mitchell Stark the first over too.
But it's stunning, Flem. Stunning. Bowled him around his pads. First ball of a test match.
Can you believe it? Morning, everyone. Pat and Heels for breakfast on SEN Queensland. Dane Zorko, Mark Braybrook filling in. And, well, who would have thought we would have a start to an Ashes series like we saw yesterday?
Where were you?
I was on the couch watching it. I couldn't believe it. I just went, wow. And I thought that maybe, because I got home a little bit late and working here, et cetera, I was streaming it.
Yep.
And I thought, am I watching the right thing? I recognise the Gabba. Yes, that's yep. Mitch Stark and Rory Burns, but I just couldn't believe it. It was a fantastic start to not only a test match, but to a series. Second time in history that the first ball of a series, an Ashes series, has been a wicket.
Well, I'll tell you what I was doing. I just finished my cycling session at the club. A mass of people absolutely everywhere. People lining up to get in. Lining up, fought my way back up to the car park. 10:01 hits, and all I hear is this, "Rah!" Phones lit up like a Christmas tree. I've gone, oh no, what have I missed? And then 30 seconds later, Daniel Rich sends me a replay as I turn my car on to head home. And there's Mitch Stark bowling Rory Burns around his legs. Could not believe it. I mean, I just had to hang in there for another 2 minutes, didn't I? And I didn't.
Mm. And I find that interesting, the fact that Daniel Rich was able to get a video to you. I wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah,
just have to teach Paddy how to do that too.
Well, you just on the TV, press rewind, film it.
Oh, on your phone. Oh, okay. Yeah. So he didn't actually get it from somewhere. He just filmed the TV on his phone. Sweet. Yeah. Okay.
That's what the new age guys do.
Okay. But that's very kind of him to do that to you too.
Well, I said, what happened? I said, I've just heard this almighty roar.
Oh, right, okay.
And he sent it through. And
Why wasn't he cycling?
I just went in early, got it done.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. And you got a park, you were worried about that?
Got a park. There was a couple left, not many.
Okay.
Made me way down, fought through the people to get there. Absolutely chockers down at the Gabba, all around the suburbs leading into the Gabba. People just lined the streets. It was a great atmosphere. It was actually really good to walk through there.
Yep.
And see all the Australian colours and the Barmy Army. And
well, there was so much to take out of yesterday. Firstly, I mean, if you go in chronological order, let's do it that way. The fact that England left out their two best bowlers historically, whether they're still their two best, you know, could be up for debate. Jimmy Anderson's nearly 40 and Stuart Broad has missed a bit of cricket. But from a psychological perspective, particularly the way that Stuart Broad own David Warner in the last Ashes series. I thought that was a massive call to leave both of those two out.
Yep.
Then we came to the toss, which we spent a lot of time talking about over the last couple of days, and it was a good toss to lose.
Couldn't have predicted it any better, could we?
No, it was a good toss to lose.
That's it.
I must admit, I was surprised that Joe Root batted first. I thought there was more chance of Pat Cummins batting first, and he said he would have, but Joe Root batting first really put pressure on a batting lineup that has been shown some fragility.
I don't know if I told you this the other day.
Who'd you see where, when?
Tuesday.
Yep. Who was training where?
The English team was training at the Gabba.
Yep. out in the nets.
Yep. I didn't witness it, but Oscar McInerney, our ruckman,
yep,
he loves going out there just sitting watching it. Loves it. He reckons Rory Burns got out that way, and it's almost like Australia had a plan for that. And then
He tell you this?
After he got bowled. However,
see, now you know what Paddy feels like.
However, he got out in 16 deliveries, 5 times to Broad and Anderson in the nets.
Wow.
Had to skip nets, jump over, and got throwdowns from the coaches because he just kept getting out. They got him caught behind and around the legs a number of times.
Oscar, you've got to tell people beforehand rather than after.
Well, anyone else.
See, now in your position, you should be doing to Oscar McInerney what Paddy would be saying to you now. You know what Paddy would be saying?
Well, yeah, I do. However, I did say give Starkey the new ball and he'll rip through him, and he's done that. He's got us off to a cracker.
But Oscar's let you down. He should have told you. He should know that you're in here every morning and should have said Zorks, as being club captain as well.
Yeah.
Well, mate, I know you're on the radio. I know you've got to talk about it. I've just noticed this happening. It might help you on the show tomorrow morning. And he didn't.
Well, you know, he likes to keep to himself, Big O.
But wow, that's... You know.
There were a few other boys out there, Jared Lyons and that.
So you're tipping them in as well. They didn't tell you either.
I'm going to have a pull a meeting.
You might have to have a big meeting. Well, no, but that is really interesting that bang, mate, out, you're going awful, and come over here, we'll give you throwdowns.
Yeah.
But, so does that tell you that Rory Burns was out of form, or that Anderson and Broad were in a little bit of form, or a mixture of both? I reckon it might be a mixture of both.
Well, that's telling me that...
I reckon it's
England. England are conceding this test match for mine. If they're not, if those two are getting Burns out as many times as they did, he kept hitting a line and a length that troubled him, and we're obviously coming in at a pace that he seemed to struggle with, or the ball was doing something, and then for them, for England not to play those two, is telling me they're not confident they're going to win this test match, or they feel as though they can do some real damage in Adelaide.
Well, I also believe that. You know, we spoke about it. You've got to pick your best team.
Yeah.
For, you know, your best 11, particularly the first test. Now
set the tone.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in a team environment.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologically, the players would talk, if the selectors of the Brisbane Lions and the coach came to you before the first game of the season or the first of a big game and said, look, we're not going to play some of our better players because we want them ready for round 4.
Yeah.
It has an impact on the squad, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It makes no sense to me that you've got two of the, and okay, yep, they're getting on now. But however, from what I've seen watching them live, they are still two of the better bowlers going around. How you can leave them out of the first match of a test series, an Ashes test series, it absolutely baffles me. I don't understand why. You want to get your team off to the best possible start in a series that 4 years ago you got absolutely flogged, and you're not playing your two best seam bowlers.
Well, here's what Ollie Pope, who batted pretty well yesterday for England in difficult conditions. He and Joss Butler got them to some sort of respectability, if you can say 147 is respectable. But here's what Ollie Pope had to say on the selection of England's bowling attack.
Ollie Robinson obviously had the shirt from the summer, and he bowled beautifully against India, I think. And he started his test career very well, and obviously Broadie missed that India series or the back end of it. So at the time he had the shirt, and I guess we've gone with Woody with the extra pace, and I guess Wokesy with the bat gives us an extra batting option as well. So I guess that's their reasons behind it, but yeah, obviously it's still a bit above my pay grade.
That final line to me is telling. Still above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm reading into it. I don't agree with it. Speak to someone else.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that a fair assumption by saying that's above my pay grade is code for I don't really agree with that, but I have to, you know.
I've got to live with it now.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. They're my teammates for the test.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit surprised that they didn't bowl first for mine.
When you make those selections, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway. No.
But let's talk about the Aussies. Yeah. I mean, England they're not out of it, because today's going to be critical that Warner and Harris can get us away to a good start. Neither player in their last test innings have been great. And we've got Travis Head coming in at 5, who is in good form, but once again, he was left out of the last test last year. But anyway, Pat Cummins, What a day. Yeah. What a debut as Australian captain. Surely he's the first Australian test captain to take five for on debut. I mean, we haven't had too many bowlers, so I'm not going out on a limb there. But he was he just seemed so organised. It just seemed to flow so well. And he was superb.
Here I am telling you, he sounds nervous. He looks nervous.
Yeah.
Well, there were certainly no signs of nerves, that's for sure. He came out and had a fantastic first innings. And I thought he got his bowling right.
Yeah, yep.
He only bowled Stark for two overs first up. He obviously got the important breakthrough to really set the tone. Took him off. Hazelwood continued his line and length. Hazelwood was 2 for 3 off eight at one point.
Yeah, and those catches he took were fantastic.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Cummins come in. He put himself on. He hit a really good line and length. He made him play. I think I heard somewhere that for the first session, there was only 3 balls that were actually going to hit the stumps.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't know what that means, really. Like, why weren't you leaving them if you're England? Like, they were obviously putting them at a length where they felt as though
they had uncomfortable
here. Yep. And then he brought Green and Lyon on just to get a little bit of a taste of it just before lunch, gave him a different look, and then hit him with the attack straight up after lunch and cleaned him up. He just got it right. He got everything right. It was probably – I didn't see that happening. Mm. I really didn't. But what a great way to start your
captaining. I don't think the Aussies would have seen the start. No, you couldn't imagine that in your wildest dreams. You'd hope that you might have England, you know, 8 for its stumps on day one, you know, potentially about 250 maybe would be a good day. But at the Gabba, you never know because England are not used to those conditions. They're used to the swinging and seaming ball, but not on a hard, bouncy wicket like the Gabba is. And their technique at times was found out. Average. And to actually get Joe Root for a duck in his first innings in an Ashes series is a big psychological blow as well.
Yeah.
He got a ripping ball. So too did Ben Stokes. Got a great delivery to get out for 5.
But once again, they did not have to play those balls.
Well, I reckon Joe Root did. And I reckon Ben Stokes was got in the position whereby if he didn't put his bat, it becomes, you know, that rote learning.
Mm.
They were two good balls. I reckon David Milan didn't have to play his.
Yep.
No. And maybe Ameed didn't have to play his either. But the rest of, you know, those two major wickets, Stokes and Root, they were big yesterday. Here's what Pat Cummins had to say on the help he received on his first day as captain.
A lot of help from Steve and a few of the other guys threw a lot of my ideas my way, which was really helpful. And the bowlers are all old pros, so bit of a different dynamic. Just trying to wipe the sweat off my hands, had the towel running on every over as opposed to getting it fine leg. But I think after the first couple of hours, I found a bit more of a natural rhythm.
And he did it with a smile on his face. Mind you can when you've got England all out for 147.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're going to be pretty happy with that, aren't you?
Yeah. But to me, if England go on to lose this test, which at the moment they're odds-on favourite to lose it, they've lost it off the field. Absolutely. I reckon more so than on the field. I mean, they've over-analysed the game.
There's something going on in that camp at the moment. For mine, it just doesn't sit right.
Another reason why you might lean towards bowling as well is they haven't had much cricket, certainly haven't had the practice they would want, and I reckon it's easier to bowl
absolutely
when you haven't had that cricket than it is as a batsman because you make one mistake as a batsman and you're gone.
However,
yeah,
what do they say? You can't judge the other team until both teams
Australia
are batting on the pitch.
Yeah. But looking out the window today, Zorks, and we better do the weather for the test match. Looking out the weather, the window today, there is not a cloud in the sky where we are in the state's capital. There might be a few clouds coming down from the south, and there might be a couple up in the north. But in the city of Brisbane this morning at the moment, or before we came into the studio, we have no windows in here.
Magnificent.
Not a cloud in the sky, which is exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
To get that moisture out of the ground so they're steaming, so they're poaching. They'll be lobsters by the end of the day.
Yep.
And hopefully, with no cloud cover, it lessens the impact that England, because they need to do something in that first hour. But having said that, today, Brisbane in particular, partly cloudy, high chance of showers, most likely during the afternoon and evening. So a little bit of a replay, maybe later the storm today.
It came
through
early, didn't it? That wasn't a traditional Brisbane storm.
No, well,
around 4 or 5, I reckon they normally hit. They come through about 3.
You'll find out next year, right? Trust me, you'll find out next year when storms hit regularly in Brisbane. Because you know what's happening for you next year?
What, out of Springfield?
Is that what No. You're young bloke. Doesn't he go into year one next year?
Yeah.
You'll find out next year that storms around Brisbane hit at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've already experienced that. I couldn't believe it. I don't reckon it, right? Oh, that's... You've brought a dreadful memory. It absolutely bucketed out. I walked to go pick him up, left at 2:55, took the umbrella, got absolutely drenched. Mm. This was about 2 weeks ago. He came out of school, 3:05, just moseyed on out. I'm standing out in the rain. They kept the kids in for a little bit longer. 3:05, it stops. I'm absolutely drenched, even with the umbrella. It was coming in sideways. But you're right. That is exactly right.
So there you go.
3 o'clock it rains.
Yep. So traditionally, that's when it hits, and then you might get a bit of play after the storm at the back end. But yesterday's was a ripper. Yesterday's was good.
That lightning was phenomenal.
And everything. But anyway, so late this afternoon, or likely during the afternoon and evening, the chance of another severe thunderstorm today, maybe up to 15 mil. I think it was up to 20 mil yesterday. Mm-hmm. Then tomorrow, shower or two and possible storm again, most likely in the morning and afternoon tomorrow in Brisbane. So that may have an impact. And then on Saturday, for the fourth day, sunny. For Brisbane, mostly sunny, just a slight chance of a shower. But they're saying there might be a storm as well and a shower or two on Sunday.
We're going to get to Saturday at this rate, you reckon?
Well, if the weather intervenes, potentially. It depends how the Aussies bat.
Well, that's the sport, how they bat.
But anyway, that is the weather. Now, Pat Cummins also had something to say on the non-selection of Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson. Didn't have much to say, but he did have something to say about it.
As I said, I thought, you know, maybe one of them might miss out. Surprised there's two.
Fair call.
Oh, we're surprised too, Pat.
Yeah.
Very surprised. And I reckon a lot of England are surprised as well.
Very surprised.
Very surprised.
What's the cliche now? Social media was going off.
Oh, yeah. It would have been going absolutely ballistic. I couldn't even imagine what the papers will be saying over in England today.
Now, just before we go to a break, and you can give us a call on the Brighton Homes open line, by the way. Brighton's home includes aircon, flooring, steel frames and solar as standard. Discover today why it's better with Brighton, 13 13 55. We've already got some texts, which we'll get to on 0467 736 736, the Love Family Lawyers text line. Thanks to Love Family Lawyers. Love is all you need. You managed last night because you had to train and you couldn't get to sleep, unlike me, to watch the Brisbane Heat.
Yeah.
What happened? Explain.
I mean, it was some sort of start. The Scorchers got off to an absolute cracker. I think they were around 2 for 80 after about 8 or 9 overs. So I'm thinking the boys are going to be chasing 200 down here. We're able to restrict them to 157, which I thought was very gettable on that wicket. The way that Bancroft and Patterson, who's come from the Sixers, I reckon.
Curtis Patterson.
Okay, yep. He's at Scorchers now. He was putting everything over the rope. It was phenomenal batting. I think he made half century and was just outstanding. I thought, oh, if Linney and Bryant get in here, we're a genuine chance. One of them, that's it. Only one of them had to. Chasing 157 and they started okay and then it just all fell into a hole again.
Not good. They got the Renegades, I think, at Metricon on Monday. So they come back from Perth to play on the Gold Coast. And then they got their first home game at the Gabba after that. But I know it's early in the season, but they're getting to that stage where that game against the Renegades is a must win.
Yeah, definitely it is.
And I watched for a little bit the Sixers against the Hurricanes. Wow. And the Sixers look like they're going to be all out for 50. And somehow they won that game.
That's some sort of captain's knock for Moses Henriques.
He can play.
And just his ability, his ball striking, like that, the balls were coming out of the middle nonstop. I thought the run chase from the Hurricanes was not a traditional Hurricanes chase. I feel like Short and Wade normally come out and are prepared to take it on. I felt as though they were comfortable chasing 144 and just pushed it around in that early power play, and it probably cost them in the end. Peter Hanscom did all he could at the back end, tried to get them over the line, and they still only needed about 30-odd off 24 balls. So for them to then fall 14 runs short was probably really disappointing for them. They probably thought chasing 144 on their home deck, they'd get it done, but they didn't.
Early question without notice for you, just watching the highlights on the screen here of that match we were talking about. And just as you were talking, Peter Hanscom came up on the screen. So an early question without notice, Hawks. Man bun, yes or no?
No, not for me.
But he had it in such a way last night. There was a double man bun, it looked like, under his hat.
Yeah, he had it under his helmet, eh?
Well, and under his hat when he was in the field, it looked like it was a double man bun.
Yeah, no, not a massive fan of it. Either let it hang out or...
Anyway,
cut it off.
Anyway, so I just that was a question without notice, out of left field, the man bun situation. Because in AFL, there's only a handful of players. In rugby league, it's become sort of the hairstyle du jour.
Well, there's the mullets now. The mullets seem to be overtaking the man buns.
So you've got more Victorians playing.
Richie wears a man bun at times.
Does he?
Yeah. He puts it. We call him the samurai sword. He puts it up in like a little. Looks like a.
We had time off in one game last year because one of the players lost their scrunchie. And had to get his hair retied because he couldn't see. That is a concern.
Was that league?
We better take a break here on Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Mark Brabrook and Dane Zorko filling in on this Thursday morning. Day two of the test will start early today. Gold Coast listeners, you'll be going at 8 o'clock, but play will start at 9:30 today and all the coverage right here on SEN. It is 7 to 7.